this morning, Luke chapter 20. And we want to begin our reading at verse 19. And then we want to read a few verses also from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Luke chapter 20 and verse 19, where we read, "And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." Revelation chapter 5. And we begin our reading at verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, a well-known verse, where we read, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings already received this morning through the corporate worship of your people, through the reading of your word, through the things that have been said. And we ask you to take the word now and speak to our hearts with it, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. The passage that we read together from Luke's Gospel gives to us a strange combination. The religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, along with the Herodians, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the strict, fundamental sect. The Herodians were those who followed King Herod. They were world conformists. Can you imagine a stranger combination? But they have one combined idea. They want to trap the Lord of glory in words, in his answer to their question. Now, it's an amazing thing. The question they asked is one of those questions that no matter how he would answer it, he'd be in trouble. And here we see the great wisdom and providence of God. Now, this is our Lord's last week on earth prior to the crucifixion. If you read the previous chapter in Luke, he had entered Jerusalem and presented to the nation as their king. As he entered and as he was looking over the city, he wept over the city because of their hard hearts and because of their rejection of him. Now, our Lord is entering into the temple daily until they take him and crucify him. He's entering in and teaching. We have this teaching in Luke and also in Matthew. Now, the religious leaders fear the people. We learn that. They feared the people. Therefore, they go to the Herodians. You have that in verse 16 of Matthew 23. When you read the parallel passage, it helps to see what this text is really saying. Now, there's a reason that they fear the people. You see, they feel things slipping away from them. The Lord Jesus is becoming very popular. He raised a man from the dead who had been dead 4 days. He had been dead and buried, Lazarus. And the Pharisees said, we also not only want to put Christ to death, we want to put Lazarus to death. We got to get rid of the evidence of this man's power and his messiahship. And now they're approaching him. And they're fearing the people what they do. So they're trying to put the Lord on the horns of a dilemma, get him, put a question to him, that no matter how he answers it, he's in trouble. That's what we have. So the first thing you notice from this text is the foolishness of flattery. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Proverbs that flattery spreads a net for the feet. Flattery is a dangerous thing. Can you imagine people coming to the Lord and feigning themselves as just men? In the John's Gospel account, the closing verses of chapter 2, it is said of our Lord, he needed not that any man should testify a man, for he knew what was in man. And they're approaching him as one who is like them. In other words, he said in the 50th Psalm, God's speaking, and he has a controversy with these people, and he says, you thought that I was such an one like yourself. Here is the Lord of glory, and they're trying to play the hypocrite, feign themselves as a just person, when in reality, they're full of sin. Now, the trap is very simple. Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? Now, this question was meant to put Christ on the horns of a dilemma. If he said it was wrong to pay tribute to Caesar, then the people would denounce him. No, excuse me. If he said it was wrong to pay tribute to Caesar, then he'd be reported to Pilate as being a traitor to the Roman government. But if he said it was right to pay tribute to Caesar, then the people who hated the taxation of Caesar, he would have fallen in their eyes and they would have gained what they were seemingly losing. They were fearing the people. So our Lord is in a position here, no matter how he answers the question, he's in trouble. It's like that age-old question, did you stop beating your wife? No matter how you answer that question, if you're a married man, you're in trouble, you see. Because if you say yes, that means you used to do it, you see. You convict yourself, and you say, if you answer the question no, that means you're still doing it. See, he's in trouble no matter how you answer that question. And this is what they're doing to the Lord. They're putting him on the horns of a dilemma so that no matter which way he answers a question, he's in trouble. But I want you to notice something. It's like what David said about Ahithophel. You see, when a person flatters and at the same time spreads a net for the feet and has an ulterior motive behind it, David said of Ahithophel, his words are like butter, but there's war in his heart. That's what David said. And here we see the false union of burning lips and a wicked heart. And what a union it is. But I want you to notice our Lord's answer. Oh, the wisdom of our God. Here we see the wisdom of the Lord in a unique way. Our Lord says, show me a penny. He made a penny the groundwork for his reply. He just asked for a coin of the realm. You see, now to man, it was impossible to find an adequate answer. You see, as far as man is concerned, but our Lord said to them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's. You see, their own lips had confessed that that Caesar had a temporal authority over them, whether they liked it or not. They said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And when they said that, they had to acknowledge with their very lips that Caesar had a temporary authority over them. Furthermore, they had a coin that Caesar had coined. Why carry his coins in your pocket? Our Lord said, show me a penny. So they had it. Furthermore, these same people had no objection to being paid with the realm, with the coins of the realm. They had no objection to that. So our Lord simply says to them, render therefore to Caesar the things which be Caesar's. But then he added, and unto God the things which are God's. As we're together this morning, we know what it is to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We pay our tax. We pay our tribute, etc. But I'm far more interested in, are we rendering to God the things that are God's? That's where our interest should lie. We have a heavenly scene in Revelation chapter 5. And we have in this heavenly scene in Revelation 5 what the saints in glory say unto the Lord. In verse 12 they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, in this heavenly scene, it's showing what we're going to say to God, to the Lord, in a coming day. We're going to say this to God in a coming day. I want to ask a question this morning. Am I saying it to him now? Are you saying it now? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Unto God, that which are God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Power is our reasonable response. Have I yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? The attitude of the world today is, I'm going to do my own thing. That is the attitude of the world. The attitude of the world is, I want my own way. Romans 6 verse 17, speaking of those who belong to Christ, who are crucified with Christ, who have been raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, from spiritual death to spiritual life. It says in Romans 6, 17, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That's lordship. That's lordship. This is a reasonable response of the child of God in every detail of life, to recognize the lordship of Christ over him. We're going to say it in a coming day. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power. Is he getting it from you now? You're giving it to him now. Oh, I know it's so easy to sing. He is Lord. He is Lord. Do you recognize it moment by moment? We'll say it in the glory. We should be saying it now. We'll move on. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. Riches, that is our financial response to the Lord. Paul Rader was a pastor of Moody Memorial Church years ago. And a man met Paul Rader one day on the street corner. And he said, oh, Mr. Rader. He said, the Lord is prospering me, and if everything goes right, and I'm expecting it to do it, I'm going to make $1 million, and I'm going to give 1/4 of it to the Lord. Oh, Paul Rader said, that's wonderful. He said, what are you giving to God now? Oh, he said, I can't give much now. I don't have it yet. So he said, do you have a quarter? Do you have 25 cents? He said, yes. He said, may I have it? And he pulled out a whole handful of coins and he gave Paul Rader a quarter. And they were on the street corner. He said, now let's pray. And they bowed their heads and he said, now Lord, we may as well forget about the 250,000 that you probably will never get. But we want to thank you for the 25 cents you did get. Oh, in the glory we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. What are you doing with your money now? Are you investing it in this life or in eternal things? Are you building for that which is going to pass away, or are you building that which is going to remain? Oh, in the glory we're going to sing, he's worthy to receive riches. What about now? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Oh, we do that without even thinking twice. Well, we think more than twice, maybe, when we make out our income tax. But to God, the things which are God's. You see, there's a scriptural principle in the Word of God. It's found in Exodus chapter 2, and or chapter 1 and verse 21, concerning the midwives who feared God. It says, because the midwives feared God, it came to pass that he built them houses. Who did? God did. What? They feared God. Let's move on. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. Wisdom is our intellectual response. Our intellectual response. A knowledge of the ways of God. In the 103rd Psalm we read, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts, unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel only knew the acts of God. They never knew his ways. They never took time out to learn the ways of God. Moses did. Exodus 33, it says, there was not a man who stood before God like Moses, who spoke to God face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now there's only one way that you may know the ways of God. You have to learn his word. You have to obey his word. And you have to think his word continuously, day by day in your mind, as you answer men and women. Our intellectual response to God. That's what it means in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, our intellectual response. Do you respond in the ways of God or the ways of the world? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. That's our bodily response. You see, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Our bodily response. When our Lord was here on earth, he went into the temple, you remember. John chapter 1 and verse 10 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own things, his own people, his own house. The temple. And he was a stranger in the temple. May I ask you a question? Is the Holy Spirit a stranger in the temple today? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is he a stranger in the temple? Or is he at home? Our bodily response. Are we constantly aware of his presence, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing? Render unto God the things that are God. There's a day coming when our bodies, we're going to say, thou art worthy to receive strength. Is he getting it from us now? Our bodily response to God. You know, the attitude today is, I'll do with my body what I please. That's the attitude today. That's the attitude of the world. And the attitude of the world has crept in to the people of God. And the Word of God says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It's an amazing thing if you were to go through the Corinthian epistle and deal with the questions that the Corinthians didn't seem to know. Where Paul asks time and again, know ye not, know ye not, know ye not. Just to deal with those questions. Don't you know this? I never forget years ago I preached on those texts. A long time ago, in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. On a Monday morning, I met the pastor of the Moravian Church. And He had a great voice, by the way, loud and clear. And he said, "What did you preach on yesterday?" I said, "Yesterday morning I preached on the things that the Corinthian church didn't seem to know." He said, "Where did you get a text like that?" I said, "Well, time and again it says, what? Know ye not? Know ye not?" They didn't seem to know those things. He said, "Boy, that's a good idea for a sermon." Well, anyway, you never forget those things, you know. Our bodily response. Is the Lord getting it now? Are you living as though your body belongs to you? Or does it belong to Him? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength, and honor. Honor is our moral response. My moral response as a Christian is, I must render to God the things that are God's, and that means I must stand, I must take a stand for what's right. No matter what other people say or think, what's right. I must judge things righteously on the basis of the Word of God. In other words, there are things, friends, today that are legal, but they are not scriptural, and they are not moral. But they're legal. And just because something is legal doesn't mean it's righteous, and I can't participate in it. All men, the scriptures say, should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Render unto God the things that are God. Honor. We honor Him when we manifest a righteous character by a righteous decision. Glory. Ah, this is our spiritual response. The glory of God should be the chief aim of the child of God. The first question in the Old West Winster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Are we doing what we're doing for the glory of God? Is it for the glory of God is a question that we should ask ourselves, our spiritual response to God. The Lord Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." John chapter 15 and verse 8. Finally, blessing. Blessing is our loving response. Our loving response. Psalm 103 verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, yea all that is within me, bless His holy name." My loving response to God is found in John 14 verse 21, where the Lord Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." Oh, there's a verse in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 3. And it's a verse of assurance. The boys and girls sang so well, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." You know how to have assurance? 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Do you know that what that word "if" means? If. That's what it means. It means if. "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that hath my commandments and doeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." Are we rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's? We pay our taxes. We submit to the powers that be. Are we rendering to God the things that are God's? Now, I love that song, "Worthy is the Lamb." I love it. But am I giving to Him now what I shall give to Him then? Or am I really ashamed of it? haba. Render, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Hymn number 72 in our hymn book. 72 in our hymn book. We want to sing the second stanza of this hymn only. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lamb, to receive blessing, glory and honor, and power at the Father's right hand. Oh, we can sing it now. And I trust that it's not simply words, but reality in our lives. Now before we sing, let's pray. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before Thee. We thank You that You have put the Spirit of God within us, not to be a stranger in the temple, but to be at home and to continuously remind us that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price. Work in our lives. Deliver us from just simply attending meetings. May we go forth to live in the heavenlies, to live on earth and give Thee glory and honor and praise as we will in that day when we see Thee face to face. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together and sing that second stanza? It's Steve Lee.